For he had said, now we're talking Christianity here. We're not talking what is pleasing to the flesh, but what gives birth to purpose. And you can't walk with Jesus if your belly is your God. In other words, if it's just once something doesn't please you in the flesh, then you are going to react to it. Because you're going to have to walk through things there. But you've got to understand this. And I mean, if somebody who used to be in this church, many of them stay in this church, we'll stay together. And you know, I will never forget this. He, one time, just to show you the blessing, that's why you can walk away. If you don't understand, and anyway, I'm trying to tell you, anywhere there is trouble, look, the Holy Ghost is giving the signal, poop, there is oil here. The global position is saying, poop, hold it. Don't let Satan drive you from this ground. Poop, there is something here. Now, what had happened to him? He had preached. He used to come to church, and he was working in, back by that time he was rated number one consulting firm in Nigeria, which was Arthur Anderson back then. It's no longer in existence as that, but it was called Arthur Anderson, and he was working there as a tax consultant. So there were promotions that went on in the place. This was in 1995. And so there were promotions there, and they skipped him. First round, second round. So I didn't even know what was going on, but we had a series we did then on offense. And of course, the reason why I preached the series, and the series was so powerful, was because I was dealing with offense too. All right? So I was ministering to myself as I was ministering to others. So I was blessing my own self first as I was blessing all right people. So I needed to hear the message, and I was preaching my own self out of offense. All right? So I wasn't really concerned with that, because I needed to get out of the situation I was in. All right? So what happens then is then after a year or so and a half, he comes up to meet me after service. And I said, what happened? He says to me, well, Pastor, something happened. I said, what? He said, you know, when you did that series on offenses there, and that's why the Bible says, woe to this world because of offenses. You know when it says woe? The word woe is cursed. Cursed is this world because of offenses. That's an offense in the heart is the worst thing. That thing is cancer. So he came and said, they did promotion twice and they skipped me, so I decided to resign. He said, I'd written a letter of resignation and submitted it. And I came in for a midweek service or so, and you started preaching on offense. And it touched me that, and you quoted the scripture that says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before thee. And you said, if you are going to leave a place, live with joy and don't live offended. All right? If you live with joy and you live in peace there, which means you follow peace. The Bible says, don't let there be any root of bitterness, but follow peace with all men. So you are living. And I remember I told this story then, all right, I read somewhere, and a man walked up to an elderly man, and he said, you know, I'm just leaving this city and I'm coming to this town, and I want to know how the people in this town are. And the elderly man said, how are the people in the town you left? Ah, said, they are nasty, terrible people. He said, that's exactly how the people in this town are, because it's the way you live, that's the way you will experience where you're going to next. So I talked about it, and he said, it just dawned on him that the only reason why he was leaving was that he was offended at the fact that a promotion exercise was done and it was omitted, and so he was angry and decided. So he went back, and that firm at that particular point in time, all right, if you want to leave, they will tell you that even if you leave, all right, and things don't work out, you can come back and give it a period. So he told him he's no longer leaving, they should bring his resignation letter, and they took him back to work. So he said after a year, all right, he learned certain things and made the adjustment, and then he got the promotion. And it was even like almost triple the thing, and he went some levels higher. And at that point was when he now decided that it's time to go. And he said, what happened? And he was saying, this offense thing must have caused a lot of problems on the earth. He said, because what happened was, while he was doing the work as tax consultant, he saw that there was an opportunity for business, all right, in terms of making nails. That there was a demand for nails, all right, in the country. Nobody was really just making nails. So he wanted to start a factory that would make nails. He said, so he resigned, All right, I'm going to start. His wife was pregnant with their first child then. He said his father-in-law called him and tried to dissuade him and tell him, look, this is a dangerous move. Your wife isn't working. You also, you had a steady income. You are leaving that. He said, well, that's what it's going to do. Well, he said, to cut a long story short, what happened to him was, he said what happened to him was that the day after he left, a French company who had come in, an oil servicing company, had come into, well, they're in Nigeria, but they came to me in this company to help them with their taxes. And by the time they charged them, that's the other lesson there, the guy said, look, we can't pay. This is too much for us. We just started business in the country. And as they were leaving, his boss, direct boss, said, wait a minute. There's a guy that left here and he just resigned yesterday. He's going to do something else, but he may have spare time now to help you. And the quality of work he would do is exactly what we would have done, because he would have been the team lead to go and do this. So can I talk to him? He said, yeah, we're open. They called him. He said, he called him and said, are you free? He said, well, he wasn't doing anything. He woke up in the morning, where's the office and all of that, before you start looking for capital for the, you know what it is to build a factory with making nails? You know the capital. So you are starting to write a business plan, all right, and all of that. I know the scripture says many shall be offended and false prophets shall arise. A prophet is not a speaker, a prophet is a seer. All right, so what distinguishes a prophet is that the prophet sees. Now, anybody can say, all right, you can just say, that's not what a prophet is. A prophet in the Old Testament is a seer, which means somebody who something was open to and he saw. So God will say, these are false prophets because they have seen nothing and they are doing what? Speaking. So anybody can speak. It's whether you saw anything. So when the Bible says false prophet, which means once you're offended, your way you see things will be colored. All right, so your vision gets tampered with. In other words, you arrive at conclusions that are erroneous because the offense poisons the way you look at things. That's why an offended person, you know, they'll say somebody's paranoid. Why they say it? It means somebody does something, he's angry, he's offended at what happened. So anybody does, he reads meanings that are not there. So you can catch a vision that God didn't send you. Are you for him saying it? Because you're offended. So He was going to do that. Now, you think about the capital that he wouldn't have needed. While he was still thinking about that, to cut long story short, the boss comes and calls him. He goes to do the job. They pay him in 1995. And how do I know? Because he came to meet me and said, this is the tithe from the first job I did. The tithe was $2,500. So they paid him $25,000. He has not built a nail factory. This is 2020. All right, but he has built an entire ward for General Hospital in Ikeja out of that taxation for oil companies. That thing was embedded in that land. Do you get what I'm saying there? There was treasure in omitting him and omitting, you understand what I'm saying there? But if there was treasure there. So once anything, I've seen this here, there is just some movement. There is tearing of waters there. Calm down. All right, just calm down. The Holy Ghost is going beep, 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 beep. All right, don't start running. Where's the vision? This is the vision. Beep. This is where purpose is. All right, once all that started, there's purpose here. If they left Joseph to himself, I'm telling you, Joseph will just have felt building the farm or the sheepfold of Jacob is his assignment in life. All right? Yeah, where would they have thought about? I'm sure they didn't even know there was that kind of land where Pharaoh, they were not aware of some of those things, but they were bundled there. So, once you get into that particular place, what we have to understand, like Paul there, he said, I took pleasure in that particular thing there. So, you take pleasure in it. You come to understand as first principles. Other people are getting irritated by it. Other people who, I mean, you are a Christian. Your approach to things is completely, radically different from the world. When they say there is a casting down, you say there is a lifting up. You are not like the world. All right? You are totally different from the world. The Bible says, had the princes of this world known of this wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So when they went to they took Jesus and crucified him, they didn't know that they were opening up the door to something that will explode right before their faces. And that's what God was telling Paul here. He said, embedded in this situation here. Okay? Now, Joseph had no choice because he was in prison. You can't resign from prison. You get what I'm saying? Now, I'm telling you, you can't resign. All right, you can't say you are going. You can't go anywhere. So you have to be on that land until you resolve the matter. Which means whatever is inside that land must come out. That's how you get delivered. All right? But if you have the option of saying, I'm walking away, then you just might walk away. All right? I can just do that. And make that kind. So you look at it. Right? And then your first approach to this particular thing here. Because once there is illumination, but to get to illumination there and to get that light that will open up the thing to you so that you can start the same way God, after the light came, he started speaking. He started speaking. And then the Spirit of God began to manifest power. But first, there was the dimension of illumination there. And that's what Paul was saying, so that you can access the riches of his glorious inheritance. He said that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, that's what he was saying, there'll be illumination. What's the next thing? That you might know the hope, which means the expectation to be clear, of his high calling, and then the riches of his glorious inheritance. And then you come to know the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. Which means the power of the Holy Ghost, that power at the beginning there, when the Holy Spirit hovered, that power comes into operation there, right? As you do that. Now, so if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse, let's start reading from verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. So it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, one of the things we've done in Christianity is that, you know, when people read the Bible to you, the first person that taught you something, then that becomes the paradigm through which you define everything in Scripture. So, the minute they said this, when they said lost, they were talking about unbelievers that are lost. Then we say that, oh, he was talking about the lost. So, once you say lost there, we exempt ourselves from that Scripture, from every other thing that is coming, because we say we are not lost. All right? And therefore, it's the world that is lost. And that's it. But when you say something is lost, nothing can be lost. It's not in regard to God. For the Bible says, all things lie naked and open to the eyes of whom we have to do. So nothing can be lost. If anything is lost, or anybody is lost, it means that person doesn't know where they are. Now, so what is referring to, and I'll show this here, is that something happens in the life of somebody and they don't understand why it happened. What's going to be the purpose? They are lost. They find themselves in a situation where it's just like you are driving and then you enter into a place you've never been before and then you're looking around and saying, I'm lost. All right, I'm lost. And there are many Christians on the other side, what's going on? I'm lost. I don't know why this is going this way. I don't know why this relationship is going this way. I don't know why, you know, I made this decision. I don't understand. And it's almost like they are lost there. All right? Now, God can see clearly, according to his blueprint, where that thing will end, but the person there is lost. He really doesn't know what's going on. And he's lost. So he says, what is causing that is that the God of this world has blinded the mind, which means there's something, the blindfold is inside, so they can't see. They don't understand why they're where they were, what is going on, they don't see it. And so it goes on in the next verse. It says, in whom the world, God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. And because they're blinded, you can't believe. All right, so they don't understand what's going on. Lest the light of the glorious gospel is the image of God should shine unto them. Verse 5. It says, for God, we preach not ourselves of Christ, ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. So we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and ourselves your servant. So they were preaching to the people. They were Christians already. Look at verse 6. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone inside our hearts. And that's when something happens. The same way he commanded light to shine out of darkness, he has shone inside our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory that is found in the face of Jesus. Now, he's saying he has given us light. And what is that light? It is the light that is called the knowledge of God's glory. And he says this light can only be found in the face of Jesus. The word face of Jesus means the inward thoughts of Jesus. So what Jesus is thinking, you come to know that, and that is you now have the knowledge of his glory and light comes on. So what Jesus is thinking about that situation, for example, we have told all night, or let's even leave that, all right? You know, when a marriage feast and there is no wine, it's finished. What's Jesus thinking? Jesus is looking at that thing and he's thinking something. Those pots there, if they fill those pots with water and they draw it out. Now, if somebody doesn't know that, it's because his mind has been blinded by the God of his world. So he's lost. He's wondering, God is my ever-present help. What's going on? What's going on? He says, the God, that's why Paul prayed. If Christians don't need their eyes to be further opened, why did Paul pray and say to Christians, he said, after I heard of your faith in Jesus and the love you have to the saints, Ephesians 1 verse 15. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Wherefore, after, not before, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, in other words, they didn't have it, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What will be the result of that? That the eyes of your understanding, the word understanding and mind are the same thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? So he was praying that the blindfold be removed. This is Paul praying this for Christians here, that you might do what? Know. So when you're in that situation and it's removed, you know what his expectation is. All right? Because in Romans, I'm just saying something for the first time. In Romans chapter 8, if we go to Romans chapter 8, it says the whole of creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope. All right, Romans chapter 8, it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that subjected the same in hope. So the person is made subject to what they consider as vain. But it says it's against their will. But God that saw that thing and allowed it to happen has a hope, which means there's something he's thinking is going to come out of this. Now, when you are given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the eyes of your understanding is opened up, then you come to understand the hope, which means what is supposed to come out of this. Do you get what we're saying here? Now look at what it says. And then what is the riches? So you can now access wealth there. The riches of the glorious inheritance. It's the same thing Jesus was saying to Peter. Now you understand the depth. They toiled all night and caught nothing. Look, you go and you catch fish and you catch nothing. And there is something in that situation. So Jesus comes and says, launch into the deep. Do you get what I'm saying here? Get to the depth. If you access the depth, you are going to see something there. In that particular situation, go to the depth of it. If you get to the depth of it, you will see that, what? You mean, as Jacob said, I did not know that I'm standing on ground and I did not know this is the gate of heaven. He said, I didn't know that I'm standing on purpose. Look, can you just imagine fishermen who told that they catch anything, come back home, and you know, they're just mending their net, and you know, they're just doing that, and Jesus is looking and saying, this is all about you becoming apostles? Underneath, toiling all night and catching nothing. Fish. All of you becoming apostles? You guys are going to change the entire world? 2,000 years after this, in Lagos, Nigeria, in Johannesburg, in Toronto, in Afghanistan, everywhere, they'll be calling your name, quoting this experience, teaching. Do you think Peter knew he was standing on that? Do you think in the world he knew he was standing? So when you go through things, you have no imagination what you're standing on. You don't, all right, and it's nothing happens. Particularly, I've said this, once you toil all night and catch nothing, just know the Holy Ghost is going beep, 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 beep. Hold it. There is something here that I want to extract out of that ground. All right? Something here that I want to pull out of the ground. Okay? So it goes on in 2 Corinthians 4 there. So God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness shone the heart to give the light of knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus. So you come to know what Jesus is thinking. We have this treasure in effing vessels. So that person, almost like he opens the Bible and then he begins to see. Now the reason why he's seen is that he has asked God. First of all, he said, God, I take pleasure in this thing. I want to thank and praise you. Something is here. Then he goes to God in prayer. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. And God opens his eyes and then he starts seeing. Say, this is the treasure we have in earthen vessels, because from what you have seen, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Then go to verse 10. All right. It quickly goes to it. It says, we bear about in our body the dying of our Lord Jesus and life of Jesus are made manifest in our body. So that dying day is that experience you had. Verse 11, he now says, we that live are always delivered unto death, which means we always get in situations like this, that the life of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He now went on in verse 12. He said, so death worketh in us, but life in you. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, as it is written, I believed. So you have to have the spirit of faith is that treasure that you have inside this earthen vessel. The light. That's why before God began to speak, come out, come out. Light was there. So it says that same light comes inside you. So you can now start speaking. Do you get what I'm saying there? You can look at that thing and say, look, this is coming out of this. 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 You become a deep person. People have conversations with you and they understand your depth. Why do they understand your depth? Because you have gotten into situations where you stood still. The deep calls to the deep. Where you are still. When other people just made, Raj, you are still. And then the depth began to come out. Let me tell you something. I was in England. Let me just share this here. And I was walking into my hotel. I got out of the train. I was walking to my hotel. And so I was walking through a mall. You can walk through a mall to get there. Or, well, it's sort of a mall, but at the same time, it has offices and banks and all of that. So a lot of people in offices, they're there. So as I was walking, a lady just walked up to me. She was like, oh, Pastor Gojo. I said, yeah, how are you? Fine. I said, oh, I said, yeah. You know, she said, I listened to you this morning. I still listen to you this morning. So when I go to this church and, you know, I watch the whole of Wabek online and I've started listening to it one after the other and all of that. Then she goes. You know, I sent you a mail, try to get you to do this. I said, you sent me? I said, yes. I said, I can't remember. She said, oh, no, no. I said, okay. I think somebody mentioned it to me. Then she called the name of somebody that I know. All right, it's close to me. I said, I told this person, the person, you know, apparently when I got my husband, she said, yes, this person talked to her. And she told me now, but I said, you said no. You said, you're not doing. All right? Okay? So I said, I recall. She said, you know, and I don't know that. She said, you know, but it didn't happen. She says, then she looked, she says, now I'm just walking on the street. And you that have been trying to get people to try to meet, you two are walking. In fact, what happened was, so I said, take my number. So she took it. After she took it, she laughed. She said, what you preach is correct. I said, what do you mean? She said, if you stand still, that blessing will come to you. She said, she told me after, because she didn't ask, that, can I have your number? I was the one that stopped. I said, the way to get me is you, this number, send a WhatsApp message, I will answer you in 5 minutes. Then she laughed. He said, what you preach is true. He said, because I tried, it didn't shape. Now, see me just walking. And the earth brought it to me. Are you following what I'm saying? Which means the earth just brought you to me. And you just came out. And that's how the thing is. So, here it talks. So, you become a deep person. Which means somebody runs into something, you tell the person, calm down. I say, no, we can't. Calm down. I say, we must fight. Calm down. Look, calm down. There is something here. Spend time worshiping. And let me tell you, Jesus, very dangerous in his behavior. Very unconventional. It doesn't operate with common sense. Common sense is sense that is common to all. Which means if it's common sense and most people are failing, common sense produces failure. Because it's sense that is what? Common. That's why you ask, what is the secret to your success? What is the uncommon sense producing this? Do you get what we're saying here? That's what common sense is. When someone says, may use your common sense, it means be like every other person. That's what it actually means. You can't make a quantum leap with common sense. All right? But you can't be leaping into the dark. You must have seen something. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. Okay? So it gives you evidence there of things, right, that are not seen within your life. So I'm going to stay close here. So it's a powerful thing for you as a person there to go to God and just to say, Jesus being unconventional, you know. Now you think about this, and that's why when you are in this situation, that's why mentoring is good. People will tell you, be calm. Because you toiled all night. We can just look at it and say, I don't understand why those people behave like that if I was there. But you toiled all night. Let's even say all night. You started trying to catch fish at 10 p.m. You finished at 5 a.m. You didn't catch anything. Then you are mending your net. You know how irritable you would have become? You are mending a net. Then somebody you didn't know just walks up to you. Now, this is Jesus. Lend me your boat. Now, why did he go to them? Because he saw their boat was empty. If the boat had fish, Jesus wouldn't have gone there. Whoever caught that fish that night, Jesus wouldn't go to the boat. Do you get what I'm saying here? So he looks at somebody that has a lot of time because he's unemployed. Do you understand what I'm saying? And says, lend me your boat. Now, you are irritable. Say, lend me your boat. On top of not catching fish, you're asking for the boat. Is this what I made my boat for? For you, to, Mr. Preacher Man, to stand in the boat. Then after he stands, he says, push me. He didn't even stop at where in the boat. You're now pushing him. Inside the boat, pushing. Then you are there, holding the boat in water, he's preaching, dividing the word, and you are there. Then he turns around. You've passed the test. So, there's that attitude there of a person. Alright? And you know, somebody, she's a lady, minister, she got a very strong, powerful job in the country, so she relocated somewhat. Well, every 2 weeks she'd become, okay? And while we were holding conversation, she told me about it and all of that. While we were holding conversation, she said something in passing that struck me deeply. She said, it's a personal, everybody knows. And they suddenly wanted to promote people to what you call director level, which is the highest level. And usually when they promote you to that level, it's just before retirement. Like, this is the highest. So take it and retire. So your pensions, all right? Now, she has about 10 years still. So why should they give you? You are the youngest among everybody. They are 59. You get what I'm saying? You are coming here. And the head of the parastatal had a candidate already, and they were only taking 2 or 3. So the head had a candidate. She took a section and divided it and removed a particular section to create it for her candidate to be director over that. So there'll be a third faction to be heard. She got to the meeting before the panel board and put the person's name 7 times in 30 minutes. The panel refused. That's the head. It's like saying the how would you say it now? Like saying the CEO is before a board. And this is the CEO's candidate for and you present this person. They say, okay, so where do we go? You call the name again? No. You call the name again? No. So she just told me, said, that person doesn't have grace. Now, and she said, there's no grace on that person's life. I said, why? She said, and she's a Christian, there's no grace. And I understood why. She doesn't say it in person. She said, because when somebody creates a division for you, then carries your name and offers your name 7 times, And this is a government parastatal that they do federal character. And the three people they picked them from even what you call minority. And this is why it's the major tribes that are in the country. And they picked minority, the three of them, and you from majority tribe there, they didn't look at you. She said, there's no grace. And let me tell you, when there is no grace on somebody, it's because they are tight-fisted. This is what I've seen. Unforgiving and selfish people can't carry grace. Which means when you are in trouble, you are thinking about yourself, how they will help you, you won't think about how you help others. And what happened there? You can go and read it in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, he said to that church, he said, in the depth of your own trial, what you were thinking about was other people that were in trouble. He said, as you have proposed, so let that man give, and let him give cheerfully, for God loves the cheerful giver, and God will cause all grace. Which means, if one reads 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, he had already defined different types of graces. He had said there is grace for utterance, grace for knowledge, grace for diligence. He said, but all grace, everyone, will come upon you. All. And what happens, he says, because of generosity. So people, that's the way out of trouble. You are in that particular situation. That's why Joseph was still a giver in the midst of it. Joseph didn't carry any attitude. You got to walk. You could see him walking diligently to help Potiphar's business grow. He didn't come there with an attitude, which means he wasn't self-centered. He wasn't selfish. Something didn't go your way. It didn't go your way. Next time around, it will go your way. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a test. All right? So people begin to throw tantrums and all of that. So Jesus comes and says, but, okay? So this is so important. I mean, if you just think about this, if two people are laid off from an office and they are going back, and one is complaining, and another one is driving there, and you just see him, you know, in the midst of this, that he had just experienced some disappointment, something happens, he parks his car, crosses the road to go and help somebody, and does all of that. You can see so much help and all of that. You see him the next day at a function where those people are, he's helping the people, helping everybody. There's no attitude. If in 6 weeks' time you heard that person got a massive opening, you know what you say? I'm not surprised. Because generosity, you know, as a law in life, compels favor. You know that. The human spirit knows. All right? The word, the gift of a man, don't think, it didn't say the talent. That word is not talent. Go and check it in Hebrew, is the generosity of a man. Okay? Which means your openness to help people. Now, that's the way Jesus is. I'll stop here, I'll continue next week. Right? That's the way Jesus is. He comes in and says to you, he says, lend me your book. So, first of all right, it speaks about first that lending there of the boat there. Then the second aspect again of it is that it talks about, I now take pleasure, right, in necessity. I take pleasure in this thing. So the man is full of praise and he's thanking God that I'm standing on something that is powerful. I'm standing on holy ground. All right. The only reason why I'm experiencing sorrow, the word there, it says, and the earth was without form and void and darkness. That word sorrow as a result of ignorance. It's because you are ignorant. You are lost. You don't know what's coming out of this. You don't know the agenda of God. Your eyes have not been opened. And so there's so much sorrow and you're disgruntled. All right. So the first way to move yourself into this. Now, many people are selfish. In fact, the prayer is still a selfish, self-centered prayer. And to show that it's self-centered, they can't even thank God for what God did yesterday. It's what you haven't done that they are disturbing God of. Do you get what I'm saying? It's still a manifestation of selfishness. It's not faith. If I say, just spend some time worshiping God for what you, I beg, what, please. That's God that saved your life from an accident last week that you are not even aware of. That a car, a trailer was coming, the angel saw it, and they had no brake. At that point, they will have crossed and missed the headlight and hit your car. And God, in his infinite wisdom, bust the tire just before it got to you. So you saw them park, and you didn't know God was saving your life, but the angel did it. But then you got to the meeting after he saved your life without your knowledge. And somebody was, and you lost. You say, listen, I went there, I prayed, God, you didn't do this for me, all right? And there's no sense of gratitude. Have you gone to see sick people in hospital? One time after church, I was coming, I saw somebody was coming out of a hospital. I said to somebody, I said, listen, President Osman said, listen, that you are walking on your 2 feet, let me tell you. There was a man that told me a story. He said before he was diagnosed with cancer, when he gets to his house, there was some people would be playing loud music. They used to irritate him. Cancer would be playing loud music. The day the doctors told him that he had cancer, he didn't hear the music. When you are thinking about cancer, what music? In fact, that music will sound nice to you. He had a problem. Are you following what I'm saying? Let there be, in the time of that pressure is when there should be gratitude. In the time of that pressure is where there should be generosity. In time of that pressure is where you should open up your life. He says the liberal soul shall be made fat. If it's going to be made fat, the soul was lean when it was liberal. That was generous when it was lean. But there was generosity in the midst of it. All right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word, and by the power of the Spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and cause it to expand within our consciousness. In Jesus' name, amen.